That's real similar to the Last Supper. I think that meeting there. Real similarities to that. Man, I think I got to come back for that. Just that's pretty good. Hello. Hello. Good to see everyone. Good to see Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
A man so famous, they named a whole mountain after him. Oh, well.
What?
You know what I'm talking about. Okay. All right. John chapter 2. You know, sometimes there's a battle cry, if it's not of God, then we need more of it. Something's not of God, we need more of it. As if doing more of that will somehow bring us into what God wants. John chapter 2 and verse 14 says, in the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves. And others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. If you ask me, that's not very Christ-like. Going in, pushing people around, turning over tables. Have you ever heard people say that? They say, well, that's not very Christ-like of you. God is love. God is this. God, of course he is. Making a scourge, a whip out of cords, and driving people from the temple isn't very Christ-like. But the things that, what was happening was the mixture between the things of God and the things of man. People were to go up to the temple and offer sacrifices. That was of God. The mixture was bringing in the money changers. The mixture was selling the doves. The mixture was all the other things that are going on. And the duplicity of things that we see in the Spirit, I don't think there's anything wrong. In fact, I know there's nothing wrong with the Spirit of God and how he's moving. Nothing wrong in it at all. It's the duplicity of the nature and the mixture that gets involved in that. Goes back to the Garden of Eden. God gives a word. Satan comes in, mixes. There comes a mixture. Did God really say that? Did God really tell you not to eat from the tree? So they mix their own thinking into it. It becomes polluted. It becomes diluted. It becomes a mixture of God and man. If you look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 through 4. Somebody read that, please.
For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Another verse?
Just, you can stop it after verse 4.
For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully.
And I was reading a commentary on this, and it talks about the word simplicity. It means single. It's a Greek word that means single. The singleness of Christ. It, as opposed to being double. Paul's talking about having a single-mindedness of faith and loyalty. He's talking about having one's mind made up and one's motivation headed in a single direction, that of Jesus Christ. From this, we can see how simplicity in Christ speaks of a purity rather than a mixture.
Right.
Singleness of heart as opposed to duplicity. And Scripture says, no man can serve two masters. Let's look at Mark 1. I don't want to talk about it. Just the thing, we get words from God, and then somehow, I don't know what happens. We just mix it up. We start adding our own stuff to it. We start adding what others have said about it. We start adding, and pretty soon it just becomes muddled. It doesn't become that clear river. It just becomes like a muddy water. You ever try to look through muddy waters or muddy? You know, it's not inviting. You can't see through it, as opposed to something that's clear. And I believe God's word comes to us clearly, but somewhere along the line we muddy it up. We need to get back to that time where the purity of the word is within our hearts. You know, Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, another they will not follow. It's time we stop following other voices. Amen. It's time we stop, you know, with all the other things that we add to the Lord. I had a couple of gentlemen come to my door the other day and open it up, and they asked me if I had ever heard about the Book of Mormon. They were Mormon missionaries. I said, yeah, I've heard of it. And we had a little conversation, and I explained to them we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our family is saved. We're family believers. And he said something. He goes, okay, now that we've got the basics out of the way, we'd like to introduce you to the Book of Mormon. And I said, well, I'm not interested in that. I'm not open to it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm fine. And okay, so he gave me his card in case I changed my mind. Well, okay, we get a little chuckle out of that, and you can say, well, that's... But where in our own lives have we added that other thing? Good that you have the basics, but let's make sure we're getting the other, you know. We want that singleness of heart, the singleness of purpose, that single-mindedness. It says, this is the Lord's voice, this is what I'm going to follow. How am I going to know it's the Lord's voice? I'm going to spend some time with him. I love where Jesus, I forget which chapter in the book of John, but Jesus says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he'll take that which is of mine and bring it to your remembrance. He'll lead you into what's mine, and he'll glorify me. How simple is that? How single of purpose is that? I can actually believe that word and say, then the Holy, since Jesus said it, and he's true to his word, I can believe for the Holy Spirit to show me the truth. And that's true. We have to get back to knowing his voice and that singleness of heart. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, I believe I'll start there. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And some translation says Jesus had compassion. And this one says Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priests, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Didn't that man receive a word from God? What was it? Don't say anything. And then go, show yourself to the priests, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Very clear. This is what you're to do. Verse 45, instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Man's flesh gets involved. We have a clear word from God, but instead, I'm going to do this. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. The result of a mixture of the word and man's ideas, it's just a muddleness, just something that hinders what God wants. In the last verse it says, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. We need to get rid of the insteads in our life. God says one thing, we hear it clearly, there's no question about it, but we always throw in an instead. The thing I love about this is it says, as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A lot of times, you've got to leave the hype. You've got to leave the things that look popular. Well, there's a big revival in Florida. We all have to go there. There's a big revival going on in Toronto. We've got to go there. There's a big outpouring of the Spirit. We've got to rush up there. There's a big, you know, thing happening in Living Springs. There's a big thing going on in LA. There's a big thing. Sometimes we have to leave those places and go out into the lonely places to meet the Lord. The things that look good, you know, I don't know what drove this man to keep talking about Christ and his healing. But it created such a stir that it kept the Lord away.
His own ego, wouldn't you say?
Isn't that what we would do? I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe he felt comfort in talking about how God had healed him. Maybe he was getting some glory in proclaiming how the Lord, you know, reached out his hand, you know, and touched him. Whatever it was, it kept Jesus out from that area. But that's not such a bad thing. A lot of times we get hung up on the things that are exciting, the things that are popular, the things where the hype is. A lot of times you've got to go out to the lonely places. I know a lot of us have left things behind. And at times it can be a lonely thing. You leave the comfort, you leave friends, you leave things that you know about. Things that are dear to you. But sometimes we have to go out to those lonely places to meet the Lord. We have to get away from all the hype. We have to get away from all the insteads. Yeah, that's a good word of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord will send the Holy Spirit and he'll speak to your heart. But if you only read this. Yeah, we're to have a oneness with the Father. Jesus prayed, didn't he? That they may be one as you and I are one. But as long as you're directed to somebody else, you know, it only works that way. We have to get back to that purity of the word that he has spoken. What the man did was not of God, so he just continued doing more of it. Adam and Eve, the flesh creates a mixture of God and man. God gives a word, man injects himself into it. Although sometimes the enemy does too, and it creates a mixture. It's something part God, part man, like a religious Frankenstein. We were going to create life. Wasn't that the whole story of that? You're going to create life, so you take bits and pieces of everything else and try to create a life. A lot of times we take the things of God and we try to mix it with what we want, what we desire. It just creates a monster. And unfortunately, it just seems like the things of man seem to take over the things of the Lord. You have to get away from what others are calling a revival and go and find it. You think of your own experience and people are made to feel excluded. They do whatever they can to be part of the crowd. They want to belong. That's in all of our nature. But the thing we want to belong to is Him. If you abide in me, Jesus said, my word abides in you. Jesus talked about he was the vine. You're the branches. You can do nothing of yourself. You know, is our abiding in him or is our abiding in what we've been told is of him? Or is our abiding in that which everyone seems to be going with? You know, you get up to, what was it, 5,000 people seeking the Lord? And then he speaks a word and they all leave him? He turns to Peter, are you going to go too? No, we have a revelation of who you are. comes at a price. It comes at a time where not a lot of people are following. But it's the one thing that God is revealing to your heart to follow after. Just a couple examples, maybe. Have you heard of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? It's in Jerusalem. It's a church. This is blow your mind. I got on YouTube, typed in Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's amazing. It's a church that was built over the tomb where Christ was laid. And it's a magnificent structure. And you have to, it looked like you crawl up to this altar, and then you crawl underneath the altar, and you crawl inside the, all into the tomb. And I believe it's called the doorway of humility. Yeah, because you have to, that's pretty neat, something out of a movie or something, the doorway of humility. But people clamor to get into that place where Jesus isn't. He's not there. But people, you look at people, it's just crowded with people trying to get in, trying to push their way into this place. But he's not there. The Wailing Wall. You ever heard of the Wailing Wall? People go to pray. You can write your prayer on a piece of paper and stick it into the cracks of the wall, right? I found that there's a place now on the internet you can send your request over the internet. It has its own app on your phone, so you can send it via your iPhone or whatever. They'll take your request, print it up for you, stick it in the Wailing Wall for you. And then when it gets too full, they'll take those pieces of paper, bury it on the Mount of Olives so that it can overlook the wall forever. How sweet. But God's not in, you know, God's not there. He's not. But doesn't that sound so wonderful? So many things just sound so wonderful. They just sound so Christ-like. God's not in it. How about John chapter 2? Jesus changes the water into wine. Big miracle takes place. Why not open up a franchise of wine places? We could put pots of wine on every corner. People can come in. Jesus could come by every so often, speak a word, turn it into wine. What a great thing we could do with it. Let's take that miracle of God and twist it and pollute it and make it into something that, you know, we're comfortable with. We can use the money to support your ministry. Doesn't that sound wonderful, Lord? Jesus goes by and sees Peter working the fishing nets. He tells him, cast your nets out. Pulls in the fish. What does it say? So great a catch, it started to sink his boat, the boat that was next to him with his partners. Jesus says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Peter leaves it, walks away. Through the miracle, he gets a revelation of who the Christ is. As far as I know, he didn't know who Jesus was up to that time. Revelation of who the Lord is. Why not just say, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is pretty cool. With your knowledge of where the fish are, in my business sense, we could take this miracle. We could even start, dare I say it, a kingdom business. You're always talking about the kingdom. We could use it, you know, we could use the money to build things. We could really get it going here. Acts 3, John and Peter walk into the temple. The man begging, right? Peter fixes his eyes and says, silver and gold have we none. But if you just give a portion of your money that you beg to our ministry, God will pour out a blessing you won't be able to contain. If we apply what is today's standard in Christianity to what happened back then, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It just sounds utterly ridiculous. And yet that's what's going on in the Christian world. We heard, Jerry reminded me this one time, the number was 58 because there's 58 different types of blessings in the Bible. If you get $58 a month for the next 12 months, God will pour out a blessing. You won't be able to contain it. Some arbitrary number. Does God pour out blessings that we can't contain? Yeah. Does man come in and bring in a mixture? Unfortunately, yes. Jesus said, "Let your light shine in such a way that they will glorify my, they'll see your light and glorify my Father that is in heaven." And yet I see people in the world seeing things like that that take place in Christianity. They aren't glorifying God. You know, they ridicule it, criticize it. You are the light of the world.
Amen.
You are a light. John said, "I am not the light, but there's one who's coming after me. He is the light. He is the light of men. Let your light shine." Oh, but if you just come to church with me, there's a bunch of guys over there, and they can really minister to your needs. And, you know, we can... No, let your light shine. Let your light shine. I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing good works. We're commanded to do them. But we don't substitute God's word with our works. We don't substitute His word with what we think is palatable, what we think is what God wants. It's easy to replace God's word, God's will with our own, because doing our own will is a whole lot easier to do. Doing His will is sometimes very difficult. In fact, Jesus sweated great drops of blood over it. You get a chance, or I think it's Psalms 122 we were reading this morning, Jerry and I. It talks about trusting the Lord and learning His word. And if I could, just in just a personal experience, back in August of 2009, some of you may be familiar, God was requiring something of me. This wasn't 2 years ago. This was last year, that I just could not give Him. Have you ever gotten to a place like that? God's requiring something of you. You know it's right. You know it's what you should do. You know you want to do it, but you just can't do it. And so I struggled with that for a while, and I got some help. And until I did finally give it to Him, I was willing to do everything else that He didn't want. You know, all the things that, you know, is it Psalm 51? What created me a clean heart, a pure... That's what God wants. But in this one particular instance, He wanted me to trust Him. Oh, trust God, it's real easy. That sounds... Oh, yeah, you know, sure. It is real easy until it comes to that one part of trusting Him where, you know, I was willing to do anything else, but I knew I was not going to be able to get away from this one thing. But when I was finally able to give it to Him, that's when I found His peace. That's when I found His love. And I still get tested about it. You know, it's a process. I'm learning it. It's a process. But instead of giving God our ideas or our efforts or our activities, let's instead give Him the one thing He does want of us. David was talking about that, and Jeff this morning. Ourselves. The two greatest commandments, what are they? Lord, the God with what? Bill? With what?
All your heart.
With all your heart? All your strength? All your soul? All your mind? And your neighbor as yourself? You know, God doesn't require you to love anything other than Him with all that you have. Love one another, it says. But it's only to Him where He says you should love me with all your heart, all your strength, all your... Well, save a little bit so you can direct it to somebody else because you want... No, we got to direct to God what belongs to God. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Is your treasure the kingdom, or is it something else? I know people who give themselves to others, they give themselves to projects, they even give themselves to words. Wasn't that a fantastic word? I'll just go home and study that and print it up and hang it on my wall and give myself to it. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them is like the man who built his house on the rock. Whose words are he talking about? His words. It's not your pastor's words, not your apostle's words, your elder's words, your wife's words, your husband's words. His word. Well, what word is that? Well, I'll open it up, pick one. You know, pray for those who, you know, misuse you. Well, that's the word of God, isn't it? And what does it say, you know, serve one another in love, serve one another? That's a word from God. There's a scripture that talks about having a single eye or having... It says if your eye be, it's in the Sermon on the Mount. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Getting back to that singleness of mind, that singleness of purpose. And real quick, look in the book of Micah, Micah 6. Let's see if I can find that. Micah is one of those minor prophets. I never knew what that meant. He's waiting to break into the majors. You know, he's just all those guys. Oh, it's Micah. He's just one of those minor guys. You know, I want to listen to one of those major, one of those major prophets. You know, Isaiah. Anyway. Micah 6. What are we to do? And verse 6. I don't think that's it, but. Okay, that's it. Thank you, David. What shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Two commands. You've heard of the words of the prophets? Yeah, I keep them all. Well, only two. Lord, love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your heart, all your soul, all your might. Your neighbor as yourself. Let's not turn to him and do it instead. Let's not take that word. Let's not take this word that God has shown us, this word, his word, the word the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance and lead us into and glorify Jesus with, and turn it into an instead and do just the opposite. Lord, we do. We give our hearts to His word.
Amen.
Amen? All right. Okay. Lord bless you.